This is the seventh and last day of this June 2000 Sesshin. And today I wish to work on case number 3. You are working case number 1, which is Mu. Yesterday worked on case number 2, which is the Fox. And today we will be working case 3. Not that I want to do 1, 2, 3, but it just came out like that. We better say we've all been working case number 1. Chuchi raises one finger. The case. Whenever Chuchi asked a question, he simply raised one finger. One day, a visitor asked Chuchi's attendant what his master preached or taught. There are several versions of this. Zen masters don't preach, they teach. Or so I think. The boy raised a finger. Hearing of this, Chuchi cut off the boy's finger with a knife. As he ran from the room, screaming with pain, Chuchi called to him. When he turned his head, Chuchi raised a finger. The boy was suddenly enlightened. When Chuchi was about to die, he told the assembly of monks, "I received this one finger, Zen, from Tsung Lung. I used it all my life, and I never used it up. With this, he entered into eternal rest." Well, from yesterday, Teshu, that of eternal rest, we aren't too sure. So, Chichu raises one finger. And if the story were about the attendant, the young attendant, would be called the hand of no finger of the attendant. Let me start by, before going into biographical material, there are a number of koans where the student gets a rough treatment. And lo and behold, he becomes enlightened. We don't see, we don't hear, we don't read, we don't know of the cases where the finger was cut and nothing happened. or koans, where nothing happens. Why did he insists the monk. Why didn't he come to an awakening? Because he did not. Awakenings happen when one is in a deep state, or it can be, let's say, enough samadhi, that one can be in a mind state which allows us to go beyond duality. We can drop our normal functioning mind and see beyond. Beyond words, beyond pictures, beyond circumstances. There's a concept in Buddhism which is skillful means, is one of the paramitas. Not just a concept, it's skillful means. And skillful means is basically time and circumstances. The teaching has to adapt to time and to the circumstances of the listeners. Today, if I saw someone who was in a state of samadhi, in order to get him to awaken, I cut off his finger. I think I would be in trouble. Maybe not necessarily from the person who awakened, but from the people who did not awaken. And what happens if I cut off the finger and the person doesn't become awakened, enlightened? I misjudged. I pushed. And the arrow missed the blank. I just injured him. I didn't kill his ego. I just injured the person. Now, each one of us, let me ask you, what are we losing? What are we willing to lose to come to awakening? What are each one of us willing to lose to come to awakening? Finger, or become a cripple like, I can't remember the name of the master, who the door shut on his leg so hard that the master broke his leg At the same time, he became enlightened. Are you willing to have your nose twitched or twisted, like yesterday in the bird flying away, the duck or the goose, or because what's clear is that we will not come to awakening if we continue to do or to be or to approach our sitting, our sasen, our experience of sishin by letting go of our ego. And our ego has many ways to express itself. We might feel enough discomfort to come to sesshin in our lives, but not enough to let go that discomfort. We might decide to hold fast our regrets. 20 years back. Two months ago, we hold fast. Our regrets, or to always second guessing. Yes, but, second guessing. Or, I don't have enough energy. Okay, work on your energy. Okay, now I've got energy. Okay, now I have too many thoughts. Okay, well, drop your thoughts. Oops, stay 7. I've got no time. It's by working and dropping the circumstances of your life that we learn. Allow us to travel light and to be able to move from our time and circumstances. And I say all this because as a way of getting into the koan. Shibayama Roshi says there's 3 koans in this koan. The first is the master simply using his finger. Whenever he was asked something, would raise a finger. And then the other is kind of the finger. That's the second part. Or the second koan. And the third koan is I received my finger from my teacher. I've used it all my life. I've never finished it up. So let's take the second part first. and talk a little bit about the master. Chuchi. Chuchi was a Dharma successor to Tamei, who appears in another case, number 30. But we won't get into him, we'll keep on Chuchi. Chuchi was living in his youth in a hut in the mountains. He was living all alone. He decided that he would deepen his practice by sitting in this little hut all alone in the mountains and let the world go by. Let the world go by while he did Sazen. And then one day a nun came. This nun followed the usual procedure of coming in and going around him three times. But she didn't take off her hat, which was the next step, or the first step. She just walked rudely into the room, did not even knock on the door, just went right in. She walked around him three times and said, "If you give me a turning word, I will take off my hat. If you don't, I'll leave." She did this three times, and Chuchi was speechless. He didn't know what to do. What was the turning word? What do I say to this woman, to this nun, who challenged me like that? So she turns her back. Some versions have it that he runs after her and says, "It's getting dark. Why don't you stay overnight?" And she says, "Give me a turning word and I'll stay. Give me a turning word and I'll stay. If you don't, I'm leaving." He couldn't open his mouth, couldn't utter a word. So she leaves. And so he goes back to his hut and he says, "Wow, this sitting here alone is quite useless." So he picks up all his gear, all his things, and ties them up in a cloth or whatever. He realizes that it's getting dark. He says, "Well, better sleep here tonight, and tomorrow morning I shall leave in search of a teacher." And that night, he had a dream. In the version of Shibayama, the version of Aiken Roshi, wasn't a dream. He had the god of the mountain appeared before him. And he gets into a big explanation of trying to justify the vision. Yama Roshi goes around it, but just when he had a dream, but then in both circumstances the same thing happens. He dreams that he is to stay there because shortly a teacher will appear. And sure enough, a few days later, Jin Hung appeared. Tian Lung appeared. We don't know anything about him, but he was well known in his time as a very good teacher. And Chu Qi, who saw the whole story, pours out his heart, explains what happened, his nun and nun and the whole story. And Tin Lung just raises a finger. And at that, yes, you've guessed the story, Chu Qi has an awakening. Akin Roshi then points out, we can learn from Chu Qi's mistake. He had properly fantasized, I will attain the heights with my own genius and inspiration. I won't be bothered with trying to deal with the world of conditions and contradictions. The world of malice and misunderstandings, difficult personalities and arguments. I'm just going to do sasen, where I'll develop my own purity and recite my dharanis and my chanting and let the world go by. Was it a mistake, as he points out? Well, I'm not sure. Sometimes we need that. We need to spend some time alone before we are ready to go out into the world. And seek awakening in the dealings, comings and goings of the world. But the world intruded. The nun appeared, then the teacher appeared, and yanked him out of his hut. Here, Akin Roshi goes back to the mistake, but Chu Qi's mistake was in supposing that lots of sasen is enough in itself. It is not. Even a small amount of sasen can be a bondage if it's a device for avoiding the world. It is in engaging that we find our true nature, the true nature of the universe. Sasen is not shutting out the world. It's engaging in the world. So that's the master who lifted up his finger. We don't know if he really cut the finger or did not. Maybe he just twisted the finger or yanked it or causing acute pain. But the student, the attendant, was just imitating him. Now, he had heard that he got it, Chuchi got it from his teacher. So why wouldn't he use the finger as his teacher had? So there he is, showing off the finger. And when you're alone and try showing the finger, not the finger, a finger. I'm going traffic showing you the finger. Get in trouble. Why would the teacher always use the same, do the same thing, whatever they asked him? Just show a finger, lift a finger, raise the finger. Working this koan, you have to show this finger. Show us the finger. And then you show the boy using the finger and the difference between one finger and the other finger. Now, what did the master do? He was in the Dogsan room under his mat. He had a knife to cut off fingers. Just in case. Well, how does that work? How come he was able to cut off the finger? Or was he in the kitchen? Called the attendant to kitchen, so he premeditated. Now I'm going to call this young attendant and I'm going to show him. Was that his mind state? I'll show him. He's gonna. Was that his mind state? Truly? Really? What was his mind state when he took the knife and just simply cut it off? Or yanked it off, or whatever he did? I love that he cut it off. Just because it's dramatic. Show me your true nature, he's saying. Come on. Like ringing the bell. Bring me your true nature back here. Get out of here. Come back with your true nature. A bit more dramatic than ringing the bell, but be just as effective. The as he ran in pain, totally in his pain, no thought in his mind. The teacher calls him, John, Charles, Kevin. He turns his head, sees the finger, and he was enlightened. So how come he never used up his finger? He used it and he used it and he used it and he never wore it up. Was it his finger he was using? Was it something else? What was he doing with his finger? It's not about a finger, all this story. Though it is expressed with a finger. It is demonstrated with a finger. And the comment. The enlightenment of Chichu and the boy had nothing to do with the end of the finger. If you can realize this, then Ting Lung Chi Chu Chi, the boy and yourself, are all run through the same clever. With a single clever. You can see into this. You have the same eyes as they do. You see with their eyes. Must awaken. This finger. And the verse. Tian Lung made a fool of old Chu Chi, who cut the boy with a sharp blade. Just as the deity, Chi Ling raised his hand and Huan Shan, with its many ridges, split into two. This deity is the deity of the mountain. The deity of the mountain raised his hand and the mountain just came toppling down. But tell me, why in the verse it says, Tuin Lung made a fool of Chu Chi. His teacher made a fool of Chu Chi. Because he cut the boy with a deep, sharp blade. Is he praising the master? Scolding the master. That's up to you, for you to see in this koan. She raised one finger. Letting go. Letting go, doing whatever it takes to let go. So you can really, truly engage in every circumstance of your life. That's what the boy did when he turned around. Look back. He let go his pain. He let go the knife. He let go everything. Everything. Just dropped it. Here is this acute pain. He sees the finger. No more pain. So, what are you willing do to let go of the pain? Let go of this discomfort. To concentrate on your practice. To push with your mind. On and on and on. Not only in this session, but later on. Continue to push, to go forward. To cut the ties that hold you back or hold you in place. Those ties are not outside yourself. Yes, it takes time. So I don't believe it was a mistake for Chu Chi to just go and sit. Mistake believing that the world would leave him alone, or that leaving the world behind his awakening will be a true awakening. Or his practice would be true practicing. But it takes time. And those years he passed there in his hut were undoubtedly part of the ripening of his practice that allowed the teacher to show him the finger, a finger, and awaken. the nun that brought all the doubts about his own practice. Doubts about his own practice. Doubts about your own practice. We were feeling very cozy in our practice, or cozy enough that we don't move. Life comes and gives us a hard knock on the head. Now, take that. Take that. Ouch! But, life, look how strong I am. I don't move. You idiot, I want you to move. Ever thought that awakening was just it's single-minded concentration. You won't awaken until you're willing to move from where you are. Must be willing to move, to move, to who? To abandon yourself, to surrender to your practice, to relax into your practice. Let all the tension go. All the control. I know what's good for me. Interesting. That's control, we know. Well, no, not always it is so. At the same time, we're called upon to use our own judgment. Wow, another contradiction. Yes, you're your own judgment. No, do not use your own judgment. So what do you do with that? How do you respond to that? By complaining? By whining? By transcending the contradiction, going beyond all contradictions, and awaken to his true nature, we all have. The Sishin has had an amazing, constant work, just has built and built and built and built. No dips in the Sishin of just started and we kept going and going and going and going. Yes, we climbed up the mountain to a certain point, some more than others, but we all sure did climb. Now, you will have to. Circumstances will make you go down a little bit. Or a lot. Depends on each one. But this machine has certainly been exceptional in the no dips. No, where has the Sishin gone? The collective energy, the mind of all of us together. Maybe you individually felt, oh, this round was bad, this round wasn't that good. But the energy, the collective energy, are, what do we call it? Our Yoriki. Just built up and built up and built up and built up. Truly inspiring to work like this. And we'll have the four vows, and after the four vows, Sazen, Doksan, and the formal end of Sishin.